Good morning, Evanston Avenue Baptist. I'm Keith Pruitt.
And I'm Kaylee Newman. Wait. B stands for boy, G for girl. I'm Keith Pruitt.
Oh, and I'm Kaylee Newman. We're so glad that you're here this morning, and we wanted to let you know what's going on at Evanston Avenue Baptist Church.
While the ushers are coming up to collect our morning's tithes and offerings, we wanted to let you know that you can find a ton of information about our church in your bulletin.
You will also find your connection card. That card is the best way to keep in touch with us, so if you could fill it out and leave it on your pew,
one of our amazing ninja ushers will pick it up after the service.
What's wrong?
Well, I'm watching out for one of those ninjas. I saw what happened last week. I don't want to get caught off guard.
Oh, right.
Last week, we had a great meeting with our VBS leaders and volunteers.
We're still in need of more volunteers, so make sure you find joy or head over to the website to sign up for VBS or check out our needs list and see if you might be able to donate some much-needed supplies.
Last week, we saw a clip of what the opening assembly looked like. Today, let's take a look at the Exploration Norway experience. Check it out.
Experience Norway is a field test favorite. Here, kids dive into exciting experiences that immerse them into daily life in Norway while connecting to the day's point. For example, on day one, kids explore all the big changes that Norwegian kids face as the seasons change so drastically. Plus, kids get to use the super cool, free CrossTrek app that can be used with the CrossTrek student magazine to experience the sights and sounds of Norway.
This is going to be a great outreach for the kids in our community, but remember, we still need your help.
So make sure you find joy, because we definitely have a job for you.
Or you can still go online at evanstonavenuebaptist.com and click on the VBS link where you can register to help out and find a list of all the materials we still need for VBS.
You can also pre-register your kids online, so make sure you do that too. If you haven't checked out our website, you might want to take a look.
It's a great resource, and we have tons of information there, including recordings of all the sermons and classes with the slides and everything.
It is a great place to get connected and keep up to date with what is going on. So head on over to evanstonavenuebaptist.com or follow us on Facebook to get connected. Hey Keith, how has your first Father's Day been?
Well, I can safely say it's been the best Father's Day I've ever had.
Well, that makes sense.
So, any plans this summer?
Oh yeah, definitely. We have youth events every other week. I'm looking forward to Unity Fest.
Oh, that's right. And I heard that the ladies get together every week for Bible study and the guys have been getting together for golf and other macho guy stuff.
Yep, we have a summer loaded with activities, so make sure you check your bulletin and visit the website and click on the calendar link to keep up to date. Well, it's almost time for Pastor Matt, but we wanted to remind you that next week we have graduation Sunday and a taco lunch right after church.
We will be honoring our graduates and spending some time with the Spanish group, so be sure to put that on your calendar. You don't want to miss it, because everybody loves tacos.
Well, it looks like it's time for Pastor Matt to finish up our series, Families of Faith, with his sermon on godly fathers and building a legacy.
Well, speaking of fathers, I heard this great dad joke. You want to hear it?
No, I'm not interested.
But it's punny.
No.
Come here. Come on.
No.
Here's Pastor Matt.
It's my
Come
job.
Back.
It's my job.
Well, good morning. So some days I do think they have way too much fun in all the best ways making these, so that's fantastic. Thank you guys for the video announcements. This is Father's Day, of course, and it's also the last time in our series on Families of Faith. Next week, we're going to be changing gears, and we're going to try something as a bit of a have young kids in Sunday school. We have a curriculum called the Gospel Project, where they're actually going to move through Scripture systematically over the next 3 years. And they're going to be covering a section of Scripture this summer that's not very familiar to most of us. So we're going to try something. For all of you who have young people, this will give you foundations to have conversations. For those of you that do not have young kids in Sunday school, don't worry about it. It's just going to be good Bible teaching. But when you're here on Sundays, the passage that I'm going to teach from is going to line up with the passage that our young people and our kids are learning in Sunday school. So again, for those of you who have young kids like I do, gives us great conversation starters. Amen. And for the rest of us, it'll give us a chance. We're going to be going through a part of the Old Testament. Again, it's not something we spend a lot of time in. So as a church, into all parts of God's Word. So we'll spend some through some parts of the Old Testament together as well. So that'll start next week. This week of Thursday message that wraps up our families of faith. We started with Mother's Day. We're ending with Father's Day. A bunch of good scene, of course. So I want to invite you, if you're a note taker, there's a note sheet in your bulletin. You're welcome to take that out. And I always encourage you to write Acts 17, verse 11 at the top. That's, again, where God tells you, don't believe anything I say. Test everything that you hear from any preacher, including me, according to God's word. Now, coming into Father's Day, we're going to pray and we'll get rolling here in just a moment. But I do love God's awesome sense of humor. For those of you that that didn't know, my family and I, we were gone basically all of last week. We were on vacation. We went up to Traverse City. Great fun. We spent some time. If you want to know exactly where we are, we were there. You can clearly see. I guess that means pant leg of Grand Traverse Bay. We were in a little hotel that was looking out on the beach. It was great. It looked so great, I thought I'd take a drive out on the beach. That didn't work so well. Just kidding. But here's why I bring this up. Not because, you know, our vacation plans are really relevant to the teaching of God's Word. I just appreciate God's sense of humor. Because if you've ever had the awesome misfortune of praying and saying, Lord, please give me patience. The Lord does not give you patience. He gives you the opportunity to be patient. And if you say, Lord, make me more loving, He doesn't just give you warm and gooey feelings. He gives you opportunities to be loving. And we are going to preach on how to be a godly dad. He traps you in a room with all of your children for a week. Including, of course, the car ride, because nothing says I love Jesus more than, shh, be quiet, I'm driving, don't make me come back there. Which, if you really think about it, how can you come back there while you're driving? I mean, we're doing 70 miles an hour on the freeway, Dad, come on back. Have a ball. So again, it's been a great, wonderful, awesome vacation, very relaxing. But all that to say, happy Father's Day. We're gonna spend some time talking about what it means to be a godly dad. So hopefully, you know, for those of you that are dads, this will be relevant and encouraging to you. Hopefully for everyone who's married to a dad, hopefully it'll give you something to go, I told you. And for all of you who are not yet married and looking for a spouse, hopefully this will, you know, land somewhere highly on your list of good criteria. So that being said, we spent some time in Proverbs a couple of weeks ago. So if you want to turn there, probably a pretty good place to start, I believe, would be Proverbs, we'll say 14 to start with. If you're unfamiliar with the Bible, the Proverbs is in the middle section. It's called Wisdom Literature, How to Live a Godly Life. We've been in Proverbs earlier in this series, learning how to communicate and how to speak life with our words. But we want to be there for a little while today to find out a couple of godly principles that we can apply as dads into our lives. So, Book of Proverbs, let me pray, and then we'll dive right in. Father, again, we love that we can call you Father. We praise your name for who you are. And Father, I just ask now, again, as always, Lord, as the preacher of your word, may my words fall to the ground. May your words endure forever and to change our lives. So, Lord, as we enter into this time, I just ask that we can become a better and better mirror of you to the world around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, to give relief to Keith, as you heard him talking about awesome dad jokes, of course, being Father's Day, we can't do dads without, you know, having a little bit of fun. So I did a Google search for funny Father's Day things. I came up with this. And I thought, that is the tackiest, cheesiest thing I've ever seen. And I really want one. Nothing says, I'm a dad, like I'm sleeping in a hamburger. I mean, how fantastic is that? And of course, you know, you can't be a dad without having some good puns. Like, what kind of computer can really sing? Adele. Yeah, I'm sorry. And of course, I gave away all my dead batteries today, free of charge. Am I the only one who does this to my children? Any other fathers, can we own up to this, that we love bad puns? You know, because some would say the tides have turned. You know, what can I say? I know it's cheesy, but I feel great about it. Yeah, you... Fortunately for us, you know, being a great dad with awesome puns is only part of the battle. We want to spend some time, we want to look at what does God's word say about how we as dads should function and how we can be a godly dad in the presence of our kids. I would love to say that it begins and ends with great puns. But as we all know, being a dad is far more than that, far more important than that. So let me just dive right in by saying this. Part of what we're going to see in Scripture today, as far as being a godly dad, is that dads should be safe fortresses. And I know that for many of us, as we're talking about dads, I'm going to be painting the picture of what the ideal dad is like. And for some of us, again, that's going to be awesome because we had great dads. For some of us, that's going to be kind of a turning the knife in the heart a little bit because we didn't have such great dads. If you're in that second category, I want you to know I'm in there with you. You know, my dad had a lot of great qualities, but being a godly dad was not one of them. And so as a result, when I look at this list, I have to look at it with that ounce of humility and say, I didn't get to learn this from my father. I didn't get to learn what it was to be a godly dad from my dad. And so I know as we're saying this that, yes, it can be painful for some of us to hear this, but please take hope. Because I can also tell you this, that even for those of us that didn't have great and godly dads, God's not done working on us. Amen? I was so blessed that after my dad stepped out of the picture, that God surrounded me regularly with great and godly men, including my father-in-law, a godly man who loves Jesus. And so for all of us who have that little bit of pain where a dad should be, I'm in there with you. Please hear me on that. But we still want to look at it. We still want to say, what does it mean for us to be a godly dad? Whoops, don't put technology and water down together. Sorry, dude, I just fried the tablet. Okay, there we go. Technology is great until you zap it with water. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from that wonderful moment. But here's what it says. Dads should be fortresses. And it says this, and we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. And again, if you're unfamiliar with Proverbs, Proverbs is not like other passages of Scripture where it's like, here's the chapter on godly dads. Instead, what we have in Proverbs is the wisdom of the Lord about fathers or about words or about any given topic is kind of woven through the whole book. And so the idea is you have to read the whole thing to get all the wisdom. But here's one little snippet for us that we can pull out that says, whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children, it will be a refuge. And so, dads, the first thing for us that we're supposed to be is we are supposed to be the godly fortress and refuge, the safe place where our children can run. Where when my children, when they thump into me and they feel my arms coming around, they need to know, just without even words, that when I'm with Dad, I'm safe. Because when I'm with Dad, I'm with somebody who's with Jesus. And it is so huge that even the non-Christian world around us knows how important having a solid relationship with Dad is. Even before we get to the issues of faith, just being a good dad is critical in this life. Here's some research that was found. This is, yanked off the internet, and it is not a Christian source. This isn't anything. It's just dad wisdom. And they discovered children who have good fathers present in their lives are, and by the way, and I realize when I'm talking about dads, I'm using that as a very broad term to include dads, grandparents, dads, and other men who have stepped into some of those roles to fill the need if the need is there. So we're talking about dads. Children with dads present in their lives, they are less likely, in general, to live in poverty. They are more likely to do better in school. That whole sit down and do your multiplication tables. Thanks, Dad. I do appreciate that. Of course, nowadays with Common Core, it's not sit down and do your multiplication tables. It's sit down and make circles, which to me seems easier. But anyway, but children with dads are more likely to do better in school. They are less likely to go to jail, less likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. And this one I found really interesting. Kids with good dads are more likely to enjoy roughhousing. I had to read that one twice. It's like they're more likely to enjoy roughhousing. And I love going through that. If you follow me on Facebook, I posted a video. Again, it's not a Christian video. They don't start from a godly perspective. They just talk about the importance of roughhousing with your kids. And they started listing things like when dads, you know, play with little kids and, you know, we're doing the whole like little body slam things and all the appropriate fun ways of just roughhousing with our kids, it teaches them a number of things. It does things like when we roughhouse with our kids, it boosts their resilience. They have to learn how to think creatively to get out of it. It makes them smarter. It gives them social intelligence, because when I'm roughhousing with one of my sons, they have to know then, you know, what's an appropriate, you know, haha, we're playing here versus an all-out whap. You know, so they have to learn how to interact socially with others. They learn morality, what's appropriate and what's not. I'm like, really? That's all from roughhousing? Yeah. So we're going to set up a little octagon in my house. No, I'm just kidding. And children with dads are more likely to have larger vocabularies. I told my 15-year-old that. He said, whatever. Okay. But if you notice, he used like a four-syllable word for that. So it was good. Whatever. Three. Close enough. And that's just dads in general. Dads in general are supposed to be the safe place to run to. We're supposed to be the refuge. In fact, in the ideal situation, when it's mom and dad, they're married together, and dad is also the husband, the word husband literally came from an old English phrase that meant house band, literally holding the house together. And so there's this expectation among us from God for us as dads that we are expected to be that strong fortress. That place that when our families come running in, and I love that image of the lighthouse, just when everything in life kind of hits up against us, we're able to run to that safe place where we've experienced love and security and trust, and most importantly, where we've experienced a relationship with Jesus lived out. Because none of us as dads on an earthly level can say, I did it right all the time. Amen? None of us can. All of us as dads have had to come back to our kids at one point in time or another and said, I'm sorry, I got that one wrong. Will you please forgive me? But even in those moments when we blow it, even in those times when we get it wrong, we still have an opportunity for our kids to learn something about God the Father. Because it's not a coincidence that was the relationship that God chose to describe the love that he has for us. Jesus, when he was teaching how to pray, he said, we begin to pray by saying, Our Father. And in those two huge and powerful words, a number of things are communicated. Number one, it's not my Father, it's our Father. We are supposed to be a family of God. Amen? A wonderful, dysfunctional, extended church family. That's who we are. Yes. But the idea of Father is, yes, he is the King of Kings. Yes, he is the Sovereign Lord. And we're right when we call him those things. But at the same time, we get to step into the throne room of heaven every time we pray, and we get to say, Abba, Daddy. And the relationship that we experience from our Heavenly Father is one that says, I love you always. I will be there for you always. You're safe with me always. I will discipline you always. But in love. Because God's discipline for his beloved children is never punishment that says you're evil. It's a correction that says you are called to be holy as he is holy. And so for us as dads, when we start to understand who our Heavenly Father is and we start to reflect that to our children, then we can be the secure fortress. We can be the refuge for our kids. And I know for many of us as parents, you know, our kids are out. You know, praise God, they leave. Amen? I mean, we love them, but they leave. Yes! But can I just tell you this? There's never a time when we as children in general still don't want and need something from our dads. It changes, I know. But there still needs to be that, I come there, even when it's to be rebuked and corrected, I still know that I'm safe in this secure refuge and fortress. That's what we're called to be as dads, to start with. That safe place where they can experience the grace of Jesus demonstrated on a daily way. Secure fortress. Now, Proverbs has a little bit of more information, because again, that would be good. I mean, if this was all that was expected of dads, is that we go out to work and pay the bills. 2 Timothy 5 verse 8 does say, anyone who does not provide for his family is worse than an unbeliever. Okay, great. So part of my job as a dad, as a husband, is to go out and work, pay the bills, be responsible. I get that. But if it was just those two things, go to work and be a safe person, you know, demonstrate Jesus to them, that would be great. That would be easy. But here's the other thing that we learn from Proverbs. Dads always teach. A lot of times without using any words. Dads always teach, and specifically, we always teach our faith to the kids. Even if you're here, if you don't believe in Jesus, you are still teaching your faith to your kids. They can't help but see it. Because everybody has faith in something. They do. Everybody has faith. Even for the atheists, they have faith in the powers of reason and deductive logic. That's what their faith is in. I like those things. They're great. But my faith is in the Lord. I think that'll last longer, just saying. But whatever you put your faith in, you are communicating that to your children. And so the opportunity that we have as godly dads, as men who love Jesus, as men who want our kids to love Jesus, is we have the opportunity to demonstrate and to teach a faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, in Proverbs chapter 22, we see this spelled out so very, very well. Train up a child in the way that he or she should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So part of our job as a dad is to not just accidentally, because our actions and our attitudes communicate our faith usually far better than our words, but in addition to that, we need to add these words where we are speaking about Jesus Christ to our kids. And not just in a way where it's sit down and let's do a Bible study with dad, and that's great and all, but when they see us as men loving Jesus, pursuing a relationship that is holy with our wives, when they see these things of faith happening in our lives, it makes an impact on them. For those of you who don't know me, my first 16 years in ministry, I was spent as a youth pastor. And one of the things that God used to propel me from just, and I was happy as a youth pastor, it's great. I never had to wear dress pants. I could wear blue jeans all the time. It was awesome. I was content to be, you know, keep doing that forever. But one of the things that God used to propel me out of youth ministry to the role that I'm in now was a couple of things. One of them was a series of three studies. And these three studies were done by the Pew Institute, the Barna Group, and if you're unfamiliar with Barna, that's like the Gallup organization for church, and USA Today. And unfortunately, my poorest memory sort of forgot which number goes with which study, but it was those three studies, and they're numbers came out at 80%, 75%, and 60%. The percentages are the number of church kids, evangelical Christian kids, who leave the faith after graduating from high school. Like, they'll be here, they'll do church stuff, they'll do youth group, they'll learn about Jesus, they'll do service projects, they'll help with vacation Bible school, all that great stuff, and then they leave and go to college, and they walk away from Jesus. And in the 10 years following that study, so far there hasn't been a significant trend of them coming back. That's heart-wrenching. You know, as a youth pastor, you're going like, is everything I'm doing wasted? And I thought, I'm a great youth pastor. My numbers would be way better than that. I started doing some tracking, discovered, yeah, they were on the good end. I only lost 60% of my kids. That's unacceptable. But the question that I started to ask was this. I started to ask, well, of those who stay, because not everybody leaves, praise God. Of the kids who stay and remain plugged into church and go to and live their faith, what do they have in common? And while there's always exception, one of the number one thing that they had in common was this: parents who live their faith on a daily basis. Not just showing up here on Sunday, not just coming at Christmas and Easter, but parents who live and struggle and demonstrate Jesus at every possible turn. Even when it's my life is just falling apart, I don't know what to do, I better pray. When my kids see us doing those types of things, when they see me and when they see Becky, when they see us as parents living their faith on a daily basis, that makes a far greater impact than any great Sunday school or youth group. And don't get me wrong, we try to have great Sunday schools and great youth groups and everything. But when they see me living my faith for real, that's how I can put those training wheels on my son and on my daughters, so they can learn how to drive this life. Until one day, of course, they go out on their own. Now, is it a guarantee? Can I do everything right as a parent and my kid still goes off and does something wrong and lives a life contrary to God? Yes, absolutely. If you want to jot down another passage, I didn't put it up on a slide, but it's Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20, where it talks about how we as children must receive our father's teachings and our mother's wisdom. So as parents, we are responsible to teach it, and as children, we're responsible to receive it. Got to have both. But one of the questions that comes up is, what's the way? Train up a child in the way that he or she should go. Well, who gets to pick that? And of course, some people would say the kids, you know, let's just, you know, find out what the kids are good at. Let's just, you know, let's let the kids pick the way. Now, I'm all for discovering our children's strengths and gifts and abilities and helping to build into that and helping them find their passions. I'm good with all of that. That's great teaching. But when it comes to finding their way in life from a spiritual and moral standpoint, that's not one where I just let my kids figure it out for themselves. I love them, but they're not smart yet. Amen? They're little. They're getting better. But if my son can't match his shirt and his shorts, how do I ever begin to think that he can pick the right spiritual and moral choice in life? So the kids can't pick it. So then does that just mean we as parents, we get to say, here's the way you should live? We get to, it's whatever we say, right? Amen? Parents just don't understand, and we don't need to. We're in charge. That's kind of that's kind of the system that my parents worked under. But who gets to determine what is the way? And the answer is neither. The kids don't get to pick, and of course, we as parents, it's not what we say. The issue, of course, is what does God say? The way that we need to train our children is in the ways of the Lord. You know, for no other reason than Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if it helps, for us as dads, here's a way to look at it. The way, the road, God does that part. God makes the road. And we as dads have the opportunity to teach our kids how to walk on it. Train up a child in the way that he should go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that's part of our job. We pass on our faith to our children. Now, you know, all that's good, and there's probably more that I could say. But I want to change gears as we wrap this up here for just a moment, because I do want to speak to the reality that many of us have faced that I alluded to earlier. What if our dad failed? What if our dad was none of those things? And it happens to a lot of us. What if dad got it wrong? Bailed out on us, gone, took off. I praise God for single moms that do a fantastic job raising their kids without dad around. You guys are awesome. I couldn't do it. But what do we do? Where do we turn? And part of what we read in the book of John, chapter 14, is this. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And my friends, Jesus is talking spiritually, and he's talking in reality. He's talking about real orphans who literally do not have dads. He's talking about functional orphans, because a functional orphan is someone who may have a dad or a mom, but they're just not there for that person. Because there's plenty of dads who are present, but they're not really dads, if you know what I mean. They're just there. And their children are growing up like spiritual orphans. And part of the promise that we have is that Jesus says, I will not leave you like that. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. And part of what we recognize in Scripture, that God's family, and this always has extremely powerful meanings for me, God's family is an adopting family, where we are adopted into a relationship with God the Father. And that's great. And I praise him for that. But sometimes when my life is falling apart, or when other people's lives are falling apart, just having a God in heaven is awesome. But sometimes we need those people with skin on, amen? Because God is great, but he's not present here with us physically. And so what we have when we realize that there are many people in our world who are left as orphans, part of what we have as a church is the opportunity to stand in the place of some of the dads and some of the moms too, who have left their kids as orphans. We have the opportunity to speak life, to speak truth into those who need dads. And there are many. And so for all of you who do that, and for all of you who have done that, and I know that there you are here in this room, I praise God for you guys. Because our God, in addition to being a holy and awesome and majestic God, our God is an adopting God who brings us into his family. So let us be the church that recognizes and stands in the gap when there's kids that need spiritual dads and spiritual granddads. Because many need it. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for all that you are doing. We thank you, Lord, I thank you for all the men of faith who have stepped up and who have stood in the gap and have been the spiritual dads and the safe people for so many others. Lord, I thank you for all the dads that are here that are doing exactly what you've called them to do, that they're loving you well, that they are serving you well, that they are showing their kids grace and love and mercy. And so, Father, I pray a blessing on their households. Father, I pray for a blessing on those marriages. I pray for a blessing on those relationships with kids. Father, I pray and I ask that you would just continue to unite those families in awesome ways, Father. Lord, I pray for the kids that are growing up in this church. Lord, I thank you for the families you've given to them. I thank you for the church family that you've given to them. So, Father, as a church family, may we take our role seriously about speaking the truth into each other's children. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for all that you are. Lord, we thank you that you saved us from our sins because you love us. We thank you that you're our Father. We thank you that you are our God. And so, Father, we just pray this in your Son's name. Amen. My friends, would you please stand? Would you please worship with me as we just celebrate the fact that our Savior is our God. He's our Father. He's the one who's rescued us and made us new. Let's worship together.
I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at his right hand stands one who is my Savior. I take him at his word and deed. Christ died to save me. I read, and in my heart I find.
Song, and it is kind of a preview of what's to come, because it really didn't go with our song service today, but we all wanted to sing it. So it is talking about all those great gospel truths, and it's called The Days of Elijah, and I know a lot of you like it, so sing it out. Amen.
Saw the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant Moses, the righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes.
And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of grace.
And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world.
And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord.
Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the at the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no, behold, he comes.
Riding on the
tropical.